Hello and welcome everybody to the Advanced Analytics webinar. My name is Ashish Bhatia. I am a Senior Program Manager in the Azure Machine Learning team. This is an ongoing learning series that we hold every other Tuesday with a new topic of discussion. Before going to the topic today, let me quickly go over the format of the webinar. This is, as usual, a one-hour session. We'll have 20 minutes of Q&A at the end. Larger portion of the webinar would be presentation and demos. The session is being recorded, and it will be available online after the live session. We'll also send you a follow-up mail with the recording and the slides. We're also holding a follow-up Exposure Connection session or a Q&A session next week on Twitter, and the speakers will be available online to answer your queries of the session. So let me quickly introduce the topic. We're going to talk about the Azure Stream Analytics Query Language today. We have two speakers today. Janet Yielding, she'll be doing all the talking. She's from the Azure Stream Analytics team and has been focusing on the Cervix and the Portal UX.
She has been in the data space in Microsoft for 5 years working with Azure SQL database teams and SQL Server Data Tools team. We also have Constantine Zarain. He is a senior software engineer in the same team. He's focusing on the query language and the query processing. So he's here to help us answer any questions at the end of the session. So with that quick introduction, I have a short poll to give a sense of who is with us today to Janet so she can kind of tailor her conversation accordingly then. So first, rate yourself on the level of expertise or comfort that you have with the Azure Stream Analytics service. Options being no exposure, beginner, intermediate, expert. And I'll give a few seconds for everybody to kind of pick their options. Okay.
Thank you for that.
We have another poll. Rate your level of comfort or expertise with TSQL. Again, the options are no exposure, beginner, intermediate, expert. And again, wait for some time. Okay, thank you. With that, I'll hand it over to Janet.
All right, thanks for the introduction, Ashish. And thanks everyone for the poll questions. That'll help me to tailor the content here. So while I'm very eager to jump in to details here, we'll be covering some key language constructs in the Stream Analytics service and going over some common query language patterns. I saw that a lot of folks didn't have a bunch of context coming in about Stream Analytics or the streaming space. So I'm going to spend a few minutes setting the context there on what Stream Analytics is and the problems that it's designed to solve. So in our modern connected world, there are all kinds of devices and applications that generate streams of data. A couple concrete examples are social media feeds, financial transactions, click streams of users' behavior on a web page, and of course, readings off of your connected devices in the Internet of Things. In a multitude of these sources, because there's continually fresh data coming across the wire, we're seeing an increased demand across many different industries for stream processing. There's a need for data to be processed fast so that stakeholders can react to changing business conditions in real time. So Stream Analytics is concerned with questions asked in real time over data in motion. So the slide that I'm showing here calls out a few scenarios that customers are using Stream Analytics for. I'll speak about a couple interesting ones. One is real-time fraud detection. So, for example, in the telecommunications sector, folks are analyzing call events and throwing events for potential alerts if, for example, the same SIM card is used in different locations that are, you know, separate geographically within a short period of time, if that's potential SIM fraud. Another really exciting scenario that people are using Stream Analytics for is to do connected cars. So we're working with an automotive manufacturer in Europe, and they're building out some features for safe winter driving. So they have these connected vehicles that have sensors on the car, on the tires, for example, so they know how much friction the vehicle is encountering on the road, also telling you when the brakes are being deployed. And with all these streams of events, they're able to find patterns that give them a fairly high likelihood that the car is encountering icy conditions. And from there, they're notifying other nearby cars to warn them. Third one I'd like to speak about is in the retail and marketing space. And this is all about making targeted recommendations to customers on the fly. This could be based on, you know, their click streams, you know, based on what they've looked at and what they're potentially interested in, and also tapping into social media feeds here, you know, taking a safe bet about what's trending and what might be topical to make an offer for a customer about. So in all these scenarios, customers are really looking to convert raw data into insight in as little time as possible. So this next slide shows a very high-level architecture for an end-to-end solution that uses Stream Analytics. On the left here, you can see we have a variety of event generators. So these can be devices, sensors, applications, and websites. And they're all sending data into Stream Analytics, where that data can be processed, aggregated, where we can analyze and look for patterns or lack of patterns, and transform that data into an output stream of events that's ready for presentation and action. The right side of this slide calls out some of the things that customers are using that output stream for, generating alerts or sourcing real-time dashboards that stakeholders are looking at to understand the state of a system. Also, in the Internet of Things scenarios, issuing command and control actions to devices to trigger programmatic action, like a firmware upgrade or a reboot, for example. Or, you know, kicking off other programmatic actions in downstream workflows. Some customers are also just using Stream Analytics to do some basic processing and then to write their data into long-term storage for later batch analysis. And lastly, this is an exciting one, as we just announced it a few days ago, but we have some integration with Azure Machine Learning, which I'll discuss a little bit later on in this presentation. But the integration here allows you to send your streaming data into a machine learning module, for example, sentiment analysis or anomaly detection, and apply machine learning over your data in real time. So you'll see at a high level here, I've called out some of the big Vs in the big data space. I've already talked a little bit about the variety of data and the different event sources that event streams are coming from. But I also wanted to call out that Stream Analytics is built for scale. It can handle millions of events per second from millions of devices and do processing and outputting on the order of seconds. So we're capturing volume, velocity, and variety here. Another thing, I'll try not to get too much into a sales pitch here because I'm eager to get into the nuts and bolts of the language. But Stream Analytics is a fully managed system. It's a platform as a service offering in Azure, meaning that users can be abstracted from the complexities of managing their own solution. So ultimately, they don't have to know or care about how things are implemented under the covers. For example, they don't need to acquire or maintain hardware. And with Azure, you have built-in business continuity, meaning that there's service-level agreements about uptime and availability. We also have automatic recovery from failures and state management. Another differentiator is built-in integration with other Azure services, like Event Hubs, Blob Storage, and Azure SQL Database. Third bullet I wanted to call out here is just the SQL language here. So in a lot of other streaming solutions, you're required to write a fair bit of customized code, you know, for connecting to your input sources, writing state management in order to do temporal queries, and of course, in any kind of a distributed system, writing code to handle at scale. One thing that's great about Stream Analytics is the only code you have to write is your business logic, and that's expressed in a SQL-like language with a few extensions specifically for temporal queries. So enough of the intro. Let's jump into a more concrete example here. So I have a demo to show you Stream Analytics in action. I'm going to jump into the query for that. So you'll see on the left here, this red device is a Texas Instruments sensor tag. It sends weather readings like temperature, humidity, and pressure several times a second, and it sends that across Bluetooth. From there, I'm going to have a job that analyzes the data as it's coming in, and it does two things. It's populating a dashboard in real time, which we've got a little bit of a screenshot for at the top. And I'm also interested in alerting, you know, throwing an alert if the temperature is above or below a given threshold. This is a canonical Internet of Things scenario where I want to monitor the state of my devices and alert over them if they might need attention. And of course, this is just a device in my office, so it's kind of a trivial application, but you can imagine in the real world how this would be a powerful tool. For example, a temperature sensor could warn me if my device is in danger of overheating, or you know, humidity would let me know if there's potentially moisture penetrating my device. So this could save you a lot of money and allow you to do preventative maintenance before something goes wrong. So to show you a bit more concrete here, this is the payload of the events that are being sent from my device. So you can see we have a timestamp for the reading, and there's also values for humidity, temperature, pressure, and light readings. And lastly, we have the name of the sensor here, which is just a friendly name to identify it. So I'm going to switch screens here and show you what my dashboard looks like. This is going to be a Power BI dashboard, and it's showing the humidity and the temperature. Now, this is connected directly to my Stream Analytics job. Stream Analytics can output directly to Power BI. So again, it only took me a few minutes to put together, and it's pretty small, but you can see the real-time nature here. I just warmed up the sensor a little bit. You can see the temperature and the humidity spiking. So to show you behind the scenes, I have the job definition open in my Azure portal. And so what I'm showing you right here is the query that's defining what we just saw in the dashboard. So I'm hoping that this looks familiar to the folks on the call who are familiar with T-SQL. And for those who don't, I'm going to speak about what we're seeing here. So we're aggregating the temperature and humidity readings with an average call here. So you can see average of humidity and average of temp. We're also pushing through a timestamp so that, you know, with the values, we also have a time associated them. And the display value here, which is the friendly name for the device. I'm reading it from sensor readings, which is my event stream. And I'm grouping it by a tumbling window of 1 second. So basically, that means that I'm getting many, many readings per second, but I'm calculating this average every second. And I'm grouping by the device itself so that I'm only, you know, doing calculations on a per-device basis. Now, I'm in the portal here, and there's plenty of other things you could explore. I could, you know, monitor my job, and I could reconfigure inputs or outputs or job policies. I'm intentionally going to leave out some of those details here, but you can learn more about them from a number of other resources that will be linked at the end of this deck. From here, I'd just like to jump into some more details with the query language. So, because Stream Analytics is a temporal system, every event that flows through it has a timestamp. There's a couple different ways that you can specify this timestamp. First of all, the system will automatically give one as a default, and that's based on when the event reaches the input source. So for event hubs, for example, every event is stamped with a piece of metadata for the arrival time that event was received by the event hubs. So you can access that as a default. And when you do, you know, a tumbling window or any other kind of temporal query, that's the timestamp that will be used. A lot of folks also have their timestamp explicitly in the event payload. And you'll recall from this example, that's the case here. So I had the timestamp value in my event, and I can access that by using the timestamp by keyword here. As a best practice, we suggest that folks use an explicit timestamp by column here. And this is just because, you know, if you have geo-distributed devices that are all sending different events in real time, you could imagine that due to network latencies, they might get there at unexpected times. And so it's less accurate. So as you're performing, you know, your computations, you're most likely going to want to use the timestamp by keyword here just to have accurate readings. So as Stream Analytics is performing computation over your streams, it'll generate output events. And those will also have a timestamp associated with them based on when the value was calculated. And you can access this timestamp in your query directly with the system.timestamp keyword. So I'm going to jump back a slide just to show the query. This is the same query that I just showed in the portal. So you can see here, we're using the timestamp by keyword to access the time value and also projecting that through directly in our query. Let me jump ahead a couple more slides, and I'll go over windowing concepts in more detail. It's a nice visualization here of what windows over a stream of events would look like. You can see here, moving across time, events are showing up in purple. And you can see kind of a high-level sketch of grouping them by windows. In this example, it's a window every 10 seconds. And then output events are computed at the bottom in orange. And by definition, those will be an aggregate of the events that are in a window. So in this example, it's the sum of the values. So the sum of all the values in window 1 is 12. The value is 14 for window 2, et cetera. And windowing is a core requirement in a stream processing application because most people want to do aggregations, but you have to specify a time period to do it over. For example, if I wanted to calculate averages, it could be potentially infinite result set, and I would need to know when to return a result by. So that's the point in setting a time period and making your calculations time-bound. So Stream Analytics supports three different types of windows: tumbling, hopping, and sliding. We'll go into all the details of those in the next few slides. What these windows have in common is that they are all fixed in length. The only thing that changes about them is the frequency that the window is triggered. And as the calculation is done, every window will output an event. It'll have its own timestamp. And again, that's what we can access with system.timestamp. Lastly, all windowing functions are called out in a group by clause. So let's jump into a tumbling window here, which is actually what's pictured below. We'll do a more concrete example here. So this is pretty similar to the last picture we looked at with the 10-second window. The blue bars at the bottom just show us where events are falling in each window. You'll notice that it's not possible for one event to end up in multiple windows. It's strictly one event in each window. And for a more specific scenario here, I'm going to write this out in the portal. But let's find out the number of sensor readings per every device every 10 seconds. So I'm going to switch screens here, and we'll actually write this together. And I've opened up the portal right now. I created just a starter job that's basically blank right now. And you'll see that we've been given a basic query here, just a select star. And from here, we can start crafting our query. And again, this job hasn't been started. I haven't specified any inputs yet. But we'll just get started now. So we know that our input here is sensor readings. And we know we want to do a group by here. So we'll group by each device. And that's identified with display. That's the field for that. And we'll also group by the tumbling window here. And if you'll recall, we wanted to do 10 seconds here. So as I'm writing, you'll see that I'm getting, you know, real-time validation over my my text. And I'm also getting some IntelliSense here. I'll go ahead and take advantage of it. And tumbling window is specified with the measurement. So this will be seconds. And then the value here of 10. We'll also see that there's an error here. Just like in standard T-SQL, if we're using a group by clause here, the select fields can only be fields that are explicitly in my group by or aggregates. So I'll adjust that here. We'll go ahead and select the display value. And also, we said we wanted to get the count. So I'll do a quick aggregate call here. Count a star as count. Let's see if that checks out. Looks like it does. So now what I'm going to show you is support for in-browser query testing in Stream Analytics. This is actually pretty cool. Without having an event stream that I've defined, or without even starting a job, Stream Analytics allows you to validate the syntax and basically the content of your query on the fly by testing it with a local JSON file. So I have something stored locally. It's a stream of readings that are basically in this schema. And I'll connect to it here. So when I click test, I'll be prompted to specify a value for each of the inputs I've defined. This query only has one input, so I only need to browse to one file. And you can see here, I have a JSON file stored locally that has my sensor data. So I'll connect to that, click OK, and then in the browser, without allocating any resources or without me having to pay for anything, this query will be run over that data. So I can see here that I'm getting counts of 79, 81, and 59 for each of those fields. Now, that's not super useful on its own. I'm going to go ahead and project through the timestamp here so that it's a little bit more helpful. You could imagine tracking this over time. I've adjusted the query here, and I'll click Rerun. And now we'll see here that the time field is also passed through. And one thing I wanted to make you aware of is that the sample file that I used for this is available to everyone on our team's GitHub. So you can hit the ground running with playing around with queries. And there'll be a link to our GitHub at the end of this presentation. All right. Switching back to Slideware, give me one moment. Okay, so we just covered tumbling windows. Oh, and you'll see here, this is basically the same query that we just wrote. So to review, we're grouping by the identifier of the sensor, grouping by a tumbling window for every 10 seconds, and pushing through the sensor name and the count. And here I added a little animation just to reiterate what we're doing here. These values in orange correspond with the count of events in each of these windows in the little graphic. All right, next we'll talk about hopping windows. So this is similar to a tumbling window, except that the windows can overlap. So a hopping window takes two parameters. It takes the size of the window and the hop, which is the amount that a window moves forward every time. So in this example, we're looking at a 10-second window with a 5-second hop. And you may notice, that this is really the same as a tumbling window, with the tumbling window just being a special case where the hop size equals the window size. So a concrete example here is every 5 seconds, tell me the count of sensor readings and the average temperature over the last 10 seconds. Take a look at the query here. So you can see in the hopping window, it has three parameters, the second, which is the measurement, and then, of course, 10 and 5. For the size and the hop. And similarly to the last example we just did, we're aggregating with a count and also averaging all of the temperature values. All right, lastly, and also here, just reiterating that these are the counts of the events. And you'll notice here that a given event can be in multiple windows. So sliding windows here is a little bit more complicated. So I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this slide. So when you're using a sliding window, you're basically asking the stream analytics system to logically consider all of the possible windows that could occur. Now, since this would be infinite, of course, stream analytics only generates windows when there's been a delta. So basically, when the content of a window could potentially change and be different from the last one that was created. So in this concrete example, you'll see here that a window is triggered when we see event 1. Another window is triggered when event 5 comes along, because a window with 1 and 5 in it would be different from 1. And then here's where this is different from, you know, the last example. A window is triggered when 5, when 1 leaves the window. So you'll see here, right along the 20 mark, a window is triggered just because the value changed and 1 is no longer in the window. So basically, a window will be triggered if there's a delta, and of course, if there's an event in the window, because it wouldn't make sense for us to generate windows that didn't have at least one event in it, since there'd be nothing to aggregate in that case. So an example here is to find out if the temperature is above 75 for a total of 5 seconds. You can imagine that we would miss this if we had used a tumbling or a hopping window, because there might have been a 5 second period where the temperature's above 75 that didn't happen to fall within the preset boundaries that we might have allocated, which is why we need a sliding window for this case, to consider every single possible window that might meet this criteria. So the query for that is right here. So this will look similar to the last one with the group by, although we've added a having clause here, meaning that all of the events inside this window must meet the criteria of being above 75. And we're checking for that by checking the minimum of all the events. So basically, this will give us all cases where there's 5 seconds straight of temperature values above 75. All right, so that's windowing. And that's kind of the baseline for most of the temporal kind of queries that folks are writing. I'd like to also call out joins, which is on the next slide here. So all we've done so far is looking over a single event stream. But there's cases where people have multiple streams they want to join together and look for patterns within. So for this example, I'm actually going to do a self-join to compare the stream with itself. So we want to find cases where the humidity has changed by at least 0.1 within 5 seconds. So a little graphic to help us out here. This is the event stream on top. And I just offset it and put below the exact same event stream just to help with visualization here. So when we're joining a stream with itself and checking the values, we'll basically be comparing each value with itself within a 5 second window. So if we did that, we would find here that device 1 does change by at least 0.1 in this highlighted example. So let's take a look at how to write this query with a demo again. All right, so we'll start from scratch here. I'll start with a select star, just for ease. Okay, and so since we're joining two instances together, I'll give one instance a friendly name of S1. I'm going to call out that we're timestamped by the time value. And I'll join that another instance called S2, also timestamped by time. And then, like a standard T-SQL join, we'll have to specify what to join these two streams on. So that'll be on the display name. So I'll say that S1.display equals S2.display. Now we're seeing an error here. Let's take a look at it. All right, the join predicate is not time-bounded. So again, similar to how all our windowing functions had to be time-bound, a join does here, because there's a potentially infinite stream of values. And we need to know with a time-bound when to actually go ahead and join them together. So you'll recall in this scenario, we were looking at, I believe it was 5 seconds, looking every 5 seconds. So we'll do that with a date diff here. So I'll say date diff with seconds of S1 and S2 is between 0 and 5. So it means of my two streams, the timestamp values of events in either one of them need to be between 0 and 5. Otherwise, I won't be comparing them, and they won't be included in the join. Now, again, we're looking for cases where these events have changed humidity values by more than, by at least 0.1. So we'll use a where clause to specify that. So first, I'll check for the case where it has increased by 0.1. Also check the opposite direction. You can see how an absolute value function here might be helpful. We haven't yet implemented that, but we're adding new functions pretty regularly. All right, so checking either way if the delta between these values is at least 0.1. And then similarly to our group by, we need to change this to be, let's look at the time. And we'll look at the display name. Let's go ahead and push through both of the humidity readings, since I'd be interested in knowing what each of them were. So I'll say the first one as previous. And the second one as new. And then we'll push through the date diff as well, just so we can see how far apart they were. This is the same as the value in our date diff below. And we'll give it a friendly name, seconds apart. OK, let's see how that works. So we're seeing a handful of cases. Let's look at a concrete example here. At this time, Olivier's office was 42.7. It changed to 42.6, and it did that within 4 seconds. And you can see a handful of other cases where the value is both increasing or decreasing, and we're seeing a variety of results between 0 and 5 seconds. Now, this is, of course, an inner join. Stream Analytics also has support for outer join, and specifically a left outer join, which experts on the call will know is a powerful tool to look for the absence of events. And we have some examples online that you can look at to get up to speed on that. So this is joining multiple event streams together. There's another type of join. Got ahead of myself. Just as you can join together multiple streams, Stream Analytics also supports joining, it also supports egressing your data to multiple outputs. So this slide is just a quick little screenshot of the query page to show you that one job and one input stream can output to multiple output sources. So this top one here is basically logging all of the events that we're seeing into kind of an output log. And the one below is doing some basic threshold alerting, where it's only writing events that are above a given threshold. And so I can specify many, many of these queries and outputs in a single job. Another little trick I wanted to call out is using the keyword with here. So by far, this is the easiest way to organize a complex Stream Analytics query, just first of all for readability. And also so that you can access result sets and subqueries. So this is kind of a trivial example, but I just wanted to show you what the syntax looks like. So you can see here, I'm using the keyword with to define step one at the top, and that's a select star from my original input. From there, step two is defined, and that queries step one. And then lastly, I have my outer query, and that's referencing step two. So we're kind of cascading the values here. And again, it's trivial, but you could see how this could be a powerful tool if you were writing a complex query. And here's another type of join. So lots of people have streams of data, but they also have static data that they want to correlate their data with. So this is slowly changing or static data. So for example, if I had a long convoluted ID as the name for my sensor, I might want to correlate it with a friendly name that would be stored in a lookup table. I have an example here that's for a slightly different use case that actually a lot of customers have asked about. So many customers are interested in doing kind of customized values in their queries. So you can imagine I might have a case where all of my devices have their own threshold that's an acceptable temperature for them. So here on my alert query, I would want to check if the temperature is above that value. So you can see here, I'm using a join to connect my event stream with my reference data lookup table. So I'm basically, it's a key value lookup here. So where the sensor IDs match, I'm going to go ahead and retrieve the value for that sensor. You can see I'm accessing that in the where clause. So I'm saying where the temperature is greater than the value that I've obtained from my lookup table, have an alert in that case. All right, and then I also wanted to plug machine learning, which is currently in limited preview. So basically, the way that this works is that Azure Machine Learning exposes a web endpoint, and we can bind that to a function and access it in your stream analytics query. So here's an example. It just looks like a function call, and you're passing in fields from your query. So you can imagine an example here where I might want to use an anomaly detection function to look at my events. And you know, the use case here would be to identify spikes or dips in values or to find trends over time. And so actually just this weekend we published a blog post about this on our team blog, and I'll point you there because that's where the sign-up details can be found for becoming a part of the Stream Analytics and Machine Learning preview. So here's a bunch of resources that I've kind of alluded to throughout the presentation. The top-level site is a great starting point. I skimped over a lot of the details of the job just focusing on the query here, but if you wanted to know more about inputs or outputs or details on how Stream Analytics handles scale, for example, this would be a great place to start. It also has links to our documentation and samples. And we have a handful of end-to-end tutorials that will help you get up and running. Specifically, we have one for analyzing Twitter sentiment and another for doing fraud detection with a telecommunications event generator. A second link here is for GitHub, and that has sample data files that you can use to explore the query language using in-browser testing, as I showed you today. It also has sample event generators for creating a stream of events if you don't happen to have one. Lastly, please check us out on Twitter. It's at Azure Streaming. That's where we're going to be pushing the latest updates about Stream Analytics. We also regularly update our blog, which is linked there. And we have a Stream Analytics LinkedIn group as well that you can just search for. And if you're using Stream Analytics and you run into any issues or need support, we have an MSDN forum. I recognize that the hyperlink as is isn't helpful to viewers, but if you just go to social.msdn.microsoft.com, you can filter through the forums there, and Stream Analytics will be listed. All right, well, that's all the content I had today. I'll hand it over to Ashish for questions.
Hey, Janet, for a great session. Let's go over and quickly jump into the Q&A. But before that, I just want to make a note again that Janet will be coming back next week on Tuesday and doing an Expert Connection session on Twitter, where she'll be answering questions around the topic that we discussed today using the hashtag Stream Analytics. The reason we have the session is to give the audience time to absorb the topic, try out, and then come back with more questions that the expert can help you answer. So watch out for this session next week. When we send the follow-up, we'll kind of include a calendar invite as well, so you have a reminder in your calendar. Then come back and ask questions if you have any next week. So let's quickly jump into the questions, and let me bring up the Q&A window. Let me take the questions from the top. Normally, date function is in a join clause would cause poor performance. Can I assume Stream Analytics handles this any better?
Yeah, it's Konstantin. So I'm not sure what exactly is answered. If it's referred to SQL performance, then the implementation of Stream Analytics is completely different. So it will have very different performance. So it's hard to answer this without specifics.
Okay, thank you. Let me pick up another one. Can you take the output and send it to an Azure ML? I'm guessing it's talking about a scoring service.
So it sounds like the question was about taking output and sending it to a machine learning function. And so you can do that over your streaming data in a function call. You could also just push it to a static output and then run machine learning over it in a batch analytics capacity. So there's two different ways you could do it. The batch one is enabled now, and calling out to machine learning over your streaming data is what's in preview.
Okay, thank you. Where can I find how can I do real-time stream analytics in Azure?
So to find out how to do that, I'm hoping that this presentation gave some context to that. For really high-level information, I'd suggest going to our top-level Azure page. That's the one that was the first link in the slide I just showed, azure.com/SA. It's going to be the best resource. So as far as learning more about what could be enabled, we have case studies there. So for example, we've done case studies with Fujitsu and NEC. So as far as like learning about in the real world what could be accomplished there, that's a great resource.
Thanks, Jenna. Another question coming from Anil is, does the Event Hub accept XML data?
Great question. We support data that's serialized in XML format, yes. We also support CSV and ABRO formats. So those are the three that we have support for right now on both the input and output side for Event Hub.
Okay, another question is around performance.
Small correction. Ashish, sorry, small correction. So was the question about JSON or XML?
XML.
XML is unfortunately not currently supported. We support JSON. JSON, CSV, and ABRO.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the clarification.
Oh, whoops. I'm glad Constantine's here.
Another question on performance. How do you handle poor performance of the downstream systems? Let's say that you are writing to Azure Blob Storage or SQL DB, and they have performance issues. What would happen in this type of scenario?
Well, I mean, it sounds like the question is already honing in on how in an end-to-end solution there's a couple different places that latency can be acquired. So as far as writing into an event output that happens to be a high latency, right, that's just kind of built in. Constantine, is there anything you want to add to that?
Yes, so if we cannot write to output, we will start reading slower and eventually stop. The way the system works is pool-based. As soon as we can output, we can process more data. So if there is a problem downstream, we will stop processing and it will surface the error to the user.
And of course, you can use streaming unit. We didn't talk about scaling in this presentation, but by writing your query in a certain way, writing your query so that it's partitioned, or by adding streaming units, you may be able to reduce some of that latency issue there.
Thank you. There's another question around building of the query. Is it possible to build query outside of the portal, for example, using SQL Server, Management Studio, or Visual Studio?
It's certainly possible. I mean, if you're writing a complex query, you could imagine how this small window wouldn't be the most efficient way to work. So you can certainly write it in your IDE or your tool of choice and then copy and paste it in here. But at this time, we don't yet have any integration with those tools. Although it's something we're looking into. Visual Studio integration is something that we're investigating.
Sure. This is a question around Power BI. How's the support for Power BI? I have been trying to develop a solution using ASA and Power BI, and it seems that it does not behave the same when I was running the job outputting to blob storage. It seems to stop processing before all data is processed, actually.
Well, I'm sorry to hear you're having problems. I don't think I'd be able to troubleshoot a specific issue over the phone right now. Please go to the forum though, and we have teammates that are looking there several times a day, so we can get more detailed information to reproduce the problem. I'm sure we can help you get down to the root cause of it and fix it.
Thanks, Shannon. Great suggestion. What are the options of automating via PowerShell?
Azure Stream Analytics has a PowerShell module. So look at our documentation section. There should be examples and API references. Everything you can do in the portal can be automated.
Thanks, Constantine. How do you deal with robustness? I have been running ASA jobs for extended time, and sometimes they fail. I need a methodology to rapidly redeploy and minimize loss of data. Which is the best recommended method of implementing the solution?
Okay. First of all, I would like to highlight that there is never a loss of data. We will even if pipeline fails, it remembers the last time it outputted and the last time the last input it was used for this input, so it will go and replay from that moment. So there will never be a loss of data. Today we do not support update of the job life updates without stopping the job. So there is a delay if you would like to change your query. One technique you can use to minimize this delay is perhaps to set up a parallel pipeline and then redirect output of this pipeline.
Thanks, Constantine. Are all the discussed queries supported in ASA SDK?
They are. Anything that you can do in Stream Analytics in the portal, you can do in the SDK and in PowerShell and with REST APIs. So there's parity there as far as what you can accomplish. Let me know if I'm misunderstanding the question, but if the question is just about if your query will work the same if you created your job via portal or via SDK, then the answer is yes, it's the same.
Thanks. Another question coming from Stephen is, how do we manage software development lifecycle? How to version control Stream Analytics jobs and how to move them across different environments from staging to production?
It's a good question. Perhaps PowerShell is the best choice today, so you can easily redeploy the job to different environments. There is no support in the portal for this.
Thank you. I'm still reading the questions that are coming in. They're coming at a good clip. Is there some latency expected when data is coming from event hubs?
So the latency, there is not a lot of latency coming from Event Hub, but you can expect some latency from your query. For example, if you do in tumbling window, it will generate events per interval. So the latency can come from the query. Overall, our goal is to have latency in a second or two.
Thanks. Do you see a future where we can access any API code in the query, the same kind of UDF syntax that you have in Azure ML?
That's a great question, and you're honing in on a really common request that we've heard. On our user voice page, which is where you can vote for features, it's one of the most highly ranked ones. So it's on our radar. It's something we know that customers are asking for, and we're treating it with priority. But no, the real answer is no, it's not implemented yet.
Thanks. Regarding reference data, when you say slowly changing, what do you mean? Having a change in the source taken into account in stream without having to restart it?
Great question. So we do assume that reference data may change over time, and we have an automatically refreshing, with your job when it's running, without having to stop it or without having to do anything, we will check for updated values in reference data automatically.
Okay. Can I use subqueries in ASA?
You can use subqueries, but there are some limitations, and it's related to temporal nature of the queries. So not all subqueries are allowed.
But the with syntax pointed out earlier is going to be an easy way to accomplish logically subqueries.
Right, I was guessing that. Yeah. Waldemar is asking, are you planning to implement row underscore number function?
Ashish, can you repeat the question, please?
Sorry. Are you planning to implement row underscore number function?
I don't know, it would be good to know the scenario behind this request. Not right now, so it's not on the plan currently, but we would love to know the scenario.
Right, I guess it's a great way to use user voice to kind of raise these requirements, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Is there any restriction recommendation related to ASA queries and Event Hub consumer groups?
Great question. As a default, when you set up your job, we'll use the default consumer group, but there's some limitations in place for the number of readers that Event Hub allows on a single consumer group. So our guidance is, as a best practice, to generate a consumer group for each of your stream analytics jobs, just so that it can have a sense of isolation and you won't have to worry about having too many readers and not being able to access the data. As a best practice, new consumer group per each stream analytics job.
Okay, I was looking at this question, it sounds interesting. With so many options out there for ML and analytics, when should we use one over the other? The option is Azure ML versus ASA versus HD Insight. How do you folks see that?
Sure. So the first thing I heard was about HD Insight versus Stream Analytics. And Azure does offer Storm, which is another, you know, stream analytics or stream processing offering. It does offer Storm in HDI. So if you're looking at those two offerings, both of them have the benefits of a platform as a service offering. The biggest changes there, or the biggest differences between the two, have to do with customizability and cost. So if, for example, you need to connect to an event source or an output target that isn't in one of the, set inputs and outputs that Stream Analytics can write to, or if you needed to write custom code, we don't currently have an extensibility model for that. Whereas with Storm on HDI, you'd be able to write any kind of customized code to connect or to do customized logic. So I think customization and extensibility is one pivot there. Another pivot has to do with cost. If you do HDI, you're paying for an entire cluster. Whereas with Stream Analytics, I didn't talk about cost here, but cost is a real differentiator. You can have a job running for a month for about $25. And so the reason we can keep prices so low is because we have multi-tenancy. So we've set it up that you don't have your own cluster provision to you. We're handling that in the background. So because of that, we can make it so that you only pay for what you use. So cost is another thing to consider there. And I can't really speak to the competitive landscape as far as machine learning goes. That would be a great question to pose on the ML forum.
It would also depend on the nature of your use case, right? These kind of services can be stitched together to solve a use case. So I'll pick up the last question. We're almost at the hour. Can multiple stream analytics job read from the same event hub?
Certainly. You can have many readers from an event hub. Some of them might not even be stream analytics jobs. Event Hub has a publisher subscriber model, so you can have many, many consumers of data, many different applications. So yes, that's supported.
So I'll just pause here. There are more questions coming in. With due interest of time, we're almost at the hour. I would want to first thank you, Janet, for spending an hour and kind of helping us understand and explain the query language, and also Constantine for coming up and helping us answer all the questions. Thanks to the audience for a great interactive session. There are equal number of unanswered questions that I have in the Q&A window. I apologize, we will not be able to answer them today, but keep posting those questions on forums, on Twitter, at Azure Stream Analytics handle. Janet will be back next week on Tuesday again at the same time and help answer those questions via Twitter. Thanks for attending the session today. Have a great day. Bye-bye.